نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. After thanking Allah and praying the blessings of Allah upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today we'll continue with the reading of the ahadith in the book of Al-Imam Yahya Abu Zakaria Sharafuddin An-Nawawi. And the hadith we'll read is Al-Hadith Al-Khamis Ashar. Al-Hadith Al-Khamis Ashar. And that is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, wherein he said, Al-Imam An-Nawawi, he said, an Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه رواه البخاري ومسلم. الإمام النووي عليه رحمة الله, he presented the hadith. He said, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه رواه البخاري ومسلم. This hadith, as we have seen it or heard it, is from the hadith of the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the man with the most reports from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and that is Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu is the companion with the most reports from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, even when he spent only 3 years with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Out of 23, he spent the last 3, and at that he had the most reports from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who do not believe in the institution of hadith, the Muslims amongst them that are referred to as the Quraniyun, and the non-Muslims amongst them that are known as the Mustashrikun, that is the Orientalists, they query this point. See, why is it that a man only spent 3 years with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? The Shia also say that. From amongst those the Shia hate so much is Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. So these people, when they oppose the institution of hadith, they say that how is it possible that a man stayed only 3 years with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and even at that he has more reports than even those who were witnesses to revelation for all the whole of 23 years. So the ulama have given a lot of explanations about this, but the explanations themselves have come from some companions and could be understood from some of what Abu Huraira himself radiallahu anhu had said regarding himself. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, when he was with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he returns to his house after he got a house, because we know that initially he was staying in the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came into Medina not having anywhere to stay. When Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu came to Medina, he didn't have anywhere to stay. He did not have anywhere to eat. And from what had been described about him at this period was that sometimes he will fall on the ground from severe hunger. That is even after he will tie stones to his stomach to hold himself up. He said, I eat whatever the Prophet gave to me. If something remained from the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they gave it to him and the rest of the companions in his shoes at the time. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was in this condition. So when the people went to the market to trade and get money, as said by Abdullah ibn Umar, he would remain in the masjid listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him questions. And whenever anyone was asking questions, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was there. And at all these, or in all these instances, he was also writing those ahadith. So when he returns to his house, he will divide his night into three. He will sleep in a part, he will make tahajjud in a part, and then he will be rereading and memorizing what he had written down from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he is from those who combined the two aspects of dabt we had mentioned to us. He combined dabt bil hifz, he was memorizing from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was also writing down. The way people make muraja of Quran today in the midnight, that was how he was making muraja of hadith. The way people make muraja of Quran today, that was how he was making muraja of hadith. That he said so and so. He said so and so. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his sunnah is وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. So what man struggles for, he gets it. So Allah made Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu to get what he wanted. And even sometimes when he found that, look, this thing is not staying properly, he went to him and said, look, when I memorize, this thing does not stay. I want something. And the Prophet prayed for him that the hadith will stay. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So he wanted it and he worked for it. And Allah gave it to him. Radiallahu anhu. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu became all of that because he wanted it, he struggled for it. Even at a time that people got engaged in, we remember the conflict with the companions radiallahu anhu. Abu al-Hasan, Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Abu Huraira was not involved radiallahu anhu. So at the time people had conflicts, there was trouble, there was problems amongst the companions radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira was teaching hadith. So all of these, Allah brought his tawfiq for it, such that he became the one, the man with the greatest number of reports from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Huraira. And as such, the ulama would refer to him, they say, Hafizul Ummah. Hafiz al-Ummah, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He is the one who has reported this hadith. So he said, Imam al-Nawawi said that Abu Huraira reported that Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qala, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. Anyone who believes in Allah, who has iman in Allah, واليوم الآخر, and the day of Qiyama. You see, this jumla is, they say it is shartiya, conditional sentence or statement, that if you know, that is, in kunta tu'min billahi wal yawm al akhir, if you actually believe in Allah and the day of Qiyam, then these things will be for you. You have to do this or you have to stop doing this. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man kana yu'minu billahi, anyone who believes in, we know iman in Allah has to be in three categories, in three things: in the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the uluhiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in his asma wa sifat. We have to believe in the rububiyyah of Allah, that like he said of himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the truth. He says, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakeel. He says, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. Allah created everything. Everything is created by Allah. This must be believed. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakeel. And is the disposer of the affairs of everything. So every creature you see, the affairs of that creature are disposed by Allah. They are in his charge. They are under his charge. He takes control of them. He says, يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. From above the heavens where he is, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he controls their affairs. He determines what happens to each of them. And he had, subhanahu wa ta'ala, made it in each of these creatures that this is how you will move. You must not change like this. He says, لَا شَمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَنْ تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرِ وَلَا اللَّيْلِ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ. It says, La shamsu yambaghi laha. It is not due for the sun. It is not in its right. And tudrika al-qamar, that it catches up with the moon. Wala laylu sabiqu an-nahar. And it is not in the right of the night to pass, to surpass the day. It says, kullun fi falakin yasbah. Each of them is in its orbit. Line of actions determined for it. So Allah created everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sees to their affairs. He will kill everything, destroy everything when he wants. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will raise everything back to resurrection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he wants. He does all of this out of his mashi'a. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must believe in this rububiyyah of Allah. And then we must believe in the uluhiyyah of Allah. That this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one only to whom worship is due. Worship is not due to any other than Allah. Worship is not due to any other than Allah. This is from iman in Allah. So someone can say, Kaybaka the imani, when he says, when someone tells you that, hey, you don't have iman, this is what he expects that you believe in. So when a person sits beside a grave, the Sufis have a practice. They call it muraqaba. Muraqaba in the Sharia has its own meaning. But they call this thing muraqaba. Muraqaba in the Sharia means self-appraisal. Self-examination. You look at yourself. How are you? What is your relationship with Allah? And you try to get better by the day. This is muraqaba in Sharia. It's known. And it is from what the Sharia encourages us to do. But there is muraqaba in the sense of the people of Sufiya. And that is that they sit beside a grave and they began to think, and then in their view, they will connect to the spirit of the person in the grave. People like Zakariya al-Kandahlawi, he does this. Zakariya al-Kandahlawi is the one who wrote Fada'il al-A'mal. You know Fada'il al-A'mal? He does this muraqaba. And Muhammad Ilyas said it is from this muraqaba that he was told to go on the da'wah of Jama'at al-Tabliq. So this muraqaba is from shirkiyat. Zakariya al-Kandahlawi gave a narration that there's a sheikh called Abdul Qadir. And that this sheikh, he likes to listen to his recitation of Quran. When he is reciting, that sheikh likes to listen. The sheikh was dead in the grave. So he said he traveled to the village. He named the village in Pakistan where he went to make muraqaba with the sheikh, dead sheikh. And he said the environment was hot, heated to his arrival. But that when he arrived, and he started to read Quran to this sheikh, The environment was calm. So that is showing the Sheikh's love for his recitation of the Quran by his graveside. So when you say Allah is the one who controls affairs, and then someone says, no, it is one Sheikh that made it. Or when you say that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped, and someone says, no, you get connection with one Sheikh in the grave, a dead man. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا كُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ. He says, the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. Why? Because they took the graves of their anbiya, of their prophets in riwayat, of their pious ones, as places of worship. And this was actually the first means that shirk got into existence, as is contained in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Imam Bukhari reported the hadith. The people of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam knew pious people amongst them. When these pious people died, we know the long story. Their graves were taken for places of worship. And those are their names mentioned in Surah An-Nur. So grave worship, things like this, a Muslim knows that from the uluhiyah of Allah is that he does not do that. He does not do that at all. And he recognizes that from acts of shirk. So there is no asking from a dead body in the grave to heal illness. There is no asking from somebody in the grave. Because those in the grave themselves, they are helpless. He says, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى وَلَا تُسْمِعُ الدُّعَاءَ ثُمَّ وَلَّوْا إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى وَلَا تُسْمِعُ ثُمَّ الدُّعَاءَ إِذَا وَلَّوْا مُدْبِرٍ. So the one in the grave, you can't hear anything they say. And don't forget, they're in the barzakh. The barzakh is cut off from this hayat dunyawiyah. So why does a living person call on to somebody in the grave? So from the uluhiyah of Allah is that a Muslim does not do all this. He does not pray to anyone but Allah. He does not seek forgiveness, repentance from anyone except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not place his trust in anything except in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not seek help from anything except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kind of help that human beings don't grant. So all of these are from what negates the Tawheed al-Uluhiyah. And the other is in having Iman in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his Asma and in his Sifat, his attributes. These ones have extensive discussions on the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his attributes. There are some of the Muslims in the history of Islam who denied these things. They denied the names of Allah or some of the names of Allah. And they denied some attributes of Allah, or some of the attributes, or all of the attributes, according to the sect that is concerned. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who believes in all this, and he adds unto that the belief that there is the last day, the day of recompense, the day that all of this thing that is mentioned here, if he does it, he will see the reward. Meaning that he's not just doing these things we will mention for the sake of it. He is doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah. For he says, يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ, and that he will be rewarded by Allah on the day of Qiyamah. This is وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. So some of the scholars have said that these two pillars of Iman are the most important pillars of the six pillars of Iman. إِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That's why if you look at the Quran, too many times when Allah speaks about very, very important matters, he says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. So Iman billahi yawm al-akhir, they are always coming together. Ulama say that because they are the most important pillars of Iman. So the one who believes in Allah in all of these manners, we say because all of these manners, because some people also believe in Allah but in another way. Like the Christians and the Jews, or like some of the Sufiya, or like the Khawarij, or like the Mu'tazila. Those things are not concerned. They are not actually beliefs in Allah, in its actual sense. So the one who actually believes in Allah like this, and who also believes in the day of Qiyamah truly. Because the one who does not, who only says, yes, I believe that there is the last day, but does not act towards it also, has not actually, truly believed in the last day. That's why he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ إِن كَفَرْتُمْ يَوْمَ يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِبًا. How is it possible? كَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ. How can you attain piety? إِن كَفَرْتُمْ. If you disbelieve in the day that the children shall grow gray hair. If you disbelieve in this day, how can you be a mu'min? If you don't fear that there is Jahannam, there is Jannah, how can you believe? How can you act righteously? You know, there are so many times people want to do something, especially in the hidden. People, nobody is seeing them there. When they remember that, look, on the day of Qiyamah is Tubul Asara'iro, you hands up. So this taqwa, he remembers something about Allah. He remembers Allah's punishment. He remembers Allah's jaza, reward, and Jannah, then he moves it. Someone will hear about Surah, the whore, the beautiful women of Al-Jannah. He wants to make zina. Say, if I do this one now, it may stop that one. Let me wait. Lam yakmis hunna insun qablahum wala jann. He said, let me wait for that one. No man nor jinn had touched these people before. Pure women. Let me wait for that one. So when all of this is established in the mind of the Muslim, it assists him to fear Allah. It assists him to leave sin. It assists him to act upon righteous deeds. So the Prophet started with these things so that we take these things seriously. So he says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir." The one who believes in Allah and the last day, says, "Fal yakul khayran." See the jawab. We say this jumla is jumlatun shartiya. So you see, man ismu shart. Kana fail shart. So fal jawabu shart. It says, fal yakul khaira. Let him therefore, the one who believes in all of these things that we have mentioned, let him therefore yakul fal. This lam ulama says lamul amr. So he says, give that fail al-mudari what a jazm. So he says, fal yakul, let him therefore say khayra, that which is good. Say things that are good. Ash-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, when he explained this khayra, he said it can be in two ways. That the khayr can be li dhatihi or li ghayrihi. What we say can be khair from two angles. Al-khair li dhatihi wal-khair li ghayrihi. It says khair li dhatihi is things like reading Quran, making azkar, performing salah. All of what we say, they are intrinsically good because they are words of azkar and things like that. So someone performs as he says, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. This statement is called bil khayr. It's a statement of good in it. So that is al khayru li dhatihi. Then there's al khayru li ghayrihi. It's a statement, but it brings about good in its end. You make a statement to make somebody happy. The good that the statement brings about is the person's happiness. So it is khair li ghayrihi. For what it brings out, it will bring about goodness. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. Anyone who truly believes in Allah and on the day of Qiyamah, or in the day of Qiyamah, fal yakul khayra. Let him say that which is good. Al liyasmut. Like he commanded saying, he also commanded keeping quiet. He commanded saying, fal yakul. He also said, al liyasmut. If he said al liyasmut, it could be correct also. But he added it. He added the lamul fail, lamul la amr. So that we understand that compulsorily you must keep quiet if you don't know what good will come out from your mouth? Al-Imam al-Shafi'i alayhi rahmatullah, he says that this hadith, this khair, he says it is إِذَا أَرَادَ الْكَلَامِ, if someone intends to make a statement, he says فَعَلَيْهِ أَن يُفَكِّرَ قَبْلَ كَلَامِهِ, it is due, the rightful thing is that the person should ponder properly before he speaks. فَإِنْ ظَهَرَتِ الْمَصْلَحَةُ تَكَلَّمَ, then if the good becomes obvious that yes, this statement is going to bring about good, then he should say it. وَإِنْ شَكَّ لَمْ يَتَكَلَّمْ, but if he's in doubt that this statement I want to make, will he bring good or not, don't say it. He says حَتَّى تَظْهَرَ, until it becomes clear that what you will say will bring about good. It's usually common. Sometimes somebody wants to say something. Say, I want to say something, but astaghfirullah. What I want to say now, don't say it. Because that your astaghfirullah, in fact, is closer to the fact that you are even recognizing that the most probable thing is that what I'm going to say is, it says, فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا, therefore, say what is good. I will yes put, or keep quiet. So ulama say, you only say what is good, or you keep quiet. So what is the ruling? They say, ظاهر الحديث, what is apparent from the hadith is that you must never say anything or something that is good. So they say, what about al-lagu? You know lagu, like just a statement somebody makes, not intending good, not intending evil. I don't want to call it neutral. Just a statement, lagu, just a statement like that. Maybe from that is, but this will be intrinsic, because by what it produces, it can bring about good at the end of the day. If you say one's business, you know, affairs, someone comes, well, how much are you selling this Pampers? You sell this Pampers, now and all this, you start making this statement. If the intention of going to the market to sell these things is to get the money to please Allah, then it will be from good. That's why I'm saying that. But if you consider that statement in its own, it's not a statement of zikr, is it? This Pampers is how much? Or this rice, one bag. Now, Annie, you start talking. You start talking. This statement in itself, there is nothing good about it. And there is nothing bad about it. It's not good, it's not bad. It's just there. So, but it can bring about good if the intention of the person selling it is that when I sell and make profit, I will please Allah with what I earn, I will feed my family, I will do this because Allah commands me. But it will be ligairihi in that sense. Go. So this kind of a statement, general statements too, they are permissible for us to make. It is permissible for us to make these day-to-day statements in our activities. For example, you're asking your wife, is there water in the bathroom for you? Is this act of ibadah or what? This statement, is there water in the bathroom? So it's from your daily statement. So these ones, it is permissible for us to make those kind of statements. They are considered as from lagu. But those statements that are bad or will bring about evil, or that are good and will bring about good, these are the second one we are obligated to say it. The first one we are obligated or prohibited from saying it. So we are obligated to say that which is good, and we are prohibited from saying that which is clearly bad, even to us. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا, let him say that which is good, أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ, or he should keep silent. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and also anyone who believes in Allah and on the day of, he believes in the day of Qiyamah, he says, فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ, let him honor his guest. Let him honor his neighbor, Jar. Let him honor Ikram. Let him honor his Jar. You see this jar? Kalyukrim jarahu. It is not one jar. It is not one nibble. You see this jarahu? It is mufradun mudaf. To feed the umum. All your neighbors. Some of us pick neighbors. This one are my friend. This one will be my friend. La. Kalyukrim jarahu. All your neighbors. And Imam Hassan al-Basri was asked, this thing, people usually think that it's a hadith. That's why I want to mention. Who are our neighbors? Say 40 houses on the right, 40 houses on the left, 40 houses in front, 40 houses behind. It's a statement of Hassan al-Basri. Imam Bukhari reported it in Adab al-Mufrad. And its chain of transmission is reliable. Hassan. So those are your neighbors from this bayan of this Salaf. Ibn Abi al-Hassan. Imam Hassan al-Basri. Alayhi rahmatullah. So he said the neighbors are 40 in your front, 40 behind you, 40 on the right, 40 on the left. Make ikram for them. So how is that? Ikhwan, just easily, each of us, let's look at it. We believe in Bia Qiyamah, yes. We believe in Allah, yes. But what about ikramul jar? How is that? And it has come with sigatul amr. Fal yukrim jar. Let him therefore, as a matter of obligation, make ikram of his jar. Unfortunately, the kind of civilization and exposure we make today has destroyed all of these things in us. So each person, you mount one fence, it's high, 50 meters high fence, with barbed wire. So your neighbor to mount 100 meters fence high, with barbed wire and electricity. With electric. You mount, everybody mounts. So why, how is ikram done? How do you know what he's doing? He doesn't know what he's doing. You don't know what he's doing. Everybody's just there on your own. Everybody on his own. So how is this hadith going to be implemented? Brothers, don't surprise you. That's how it is with me in the Arab world too. In the Arab world, everybody's on his own. No any family, no friend, no. On your own. Everyone's on your own. On your own. Quickly. On your own. A brother said that he lived with somebody for 3 years. He only saw the man twice. And that he gave back to a child, he slaughtered a ram. That's one of the times he said. He went to give him the da nama sinako. He said, take this ram. He said, me. I'm not fakir. I look for people who are looking for people. So where is the crime in the jar? How is it going to occur? How will that person honor this brother? How will this brother also reciprocate? How is it possible? SubhanAllah. It's giving me a problem. See 40 in the front, 40 behind. 40 on the right, 40 on the left. How are you going to announce this? How are you going to resolve this on the day of Qiyamah? Because he's saying that Mu'min Billah and Yawm al-Akhir, and Yawm al-Akhir will be asking us about all this. How did you do it, your neighbor? And then he said, Falyukrim. They say ikram. There is no, he did not say how to make the ikram. How to honor. He didn't say it. So it means it is every manner of ikram, every manner of honor that is known, every way of honor that is known with you, this how to honor somebody. And people like Al-Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali was even saying that you have to honor him based on his level and his category. There is a millionaire where you want to give him a gift or you want to say something to him, you know how to say to him. So that you will not be bringing him down. So how do you share what you eat, what you... How do you know whether he was angry or he slept in hunger today? How do you know with this 50-meter fence? On your own, everybody on your own. And there is this city in the house. So when children and women are busy, are not busy, they play VCD from morning to night. No going out. Gates locked. If you want to enter, you have to ring the bell. You get there, you go away. How are you going to do that?
There is this hadith that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu has reported. Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought that hadith in his book. Al-Adab al-Mufrad and Al-Imam al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah in Silsilatul Sahihah, he said this hadith is sahih. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, لقد أتى علينا زمان وما أحد أحق بديناره ولا درهمه من أخيه المسلم. So the time had passed with us. Nothing, the naira and kobo of a man was not important to him like his brother, who is a Muslim. A time came, the most important thing to the Muslim was not his dirham or his dinar. He says, وَمَا أَحَدٌ أَحَقُّ بِدِينَارِهِ وَلَا دِرْهَمِهِ مِنْ أَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ. The one who is most concerned, he feels the one who needs this thing more, my brother, my brother, my brother, my brother, my brother. He said, رضي الله عنهما, he said, ثُمَّ الْآنَ, but now, الدِّينَارُ وَالدِّرْهَمُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِنَا مِنْ أَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ. He said, the dinar and the dirham are more pleasant to us, dearer to us now than our brothers in faith. They are dearer to us. He says, سَمِيْتُ نَبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم say that كَمْ مِنْ جَارٍ مُتَعَلِّكٍ بِجَارِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. How many neighbors? How many a neighbor will be tied to his neighbor on the day of Qiyamah? They will be together. He will drag him. He says, Ya Rab, O my Lord, Hada, this my neighbor, Agla kababahu duni, famana'a ma'arufahu. He shut my doors to my face. He shut his doors to my face. He says, famana'a ma'arufahu. So all the good that could come from him to me, he prevented it from me. Allah see him on the day of Qiyamah. Ibn Umar said that. So before it was my brother, my brother, my brother. Allah told us now. Didn't he say to us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. Even when they were in need, they preferred their brother. That's what Ibn Umar said here. Dilma'na. So that time, my brother is dearer to me. But now, if Ibn Umar said it then, what about today? Defenses are there now. It is now gone, gone that you have defenses that will prevent that your neighbor from coming to you. Or that you will use to prevent your neighbor. Each person should just look where he is with respect to this matter. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that mazala jibrilu, you will see me bil jari hatta zanantu annahu yuwarrisuhu fayuwarrisuhu. Jibril kept on reminding me, jar, your neighbor, your neighbor, your neighbor, your neighbor, your neighbor, until I thought that it is going to be from earth inheritance, that oh, your neighbor too should be inheriting. He was telling me neighbor, 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 neighbor. This neighbor doesn't mean Muslim alone, no. Talk less of a Muslim. One of those who reported this hadith that we are reading today was Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. He, in his own case, when he narrated this hadith, a sheep was slaughtered in his house. So, when it was being divided by his aides who are dividing the meat, so he said to them, hey, don't forget our neighbor, our Jewish neighbor. Don't forget our Jewish neighbor. Don't forget our Jewish neighbor. So his aide tells him, which Jewish neighbor? Neighbor, Jewish neighbor regarding this matter? Jewish neighbor for me? He said, I heard Prophet said so. So he reported this hadith. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. So ulama say it is neighbor. It did not say your Muslim neighbor. It did not say your Christian neighbor. It did not say your Jewish neighbor. Say your neighbor. So if your Christian neighbor has a right in this case like this, what about Muslims? What about your relative? Who is your neighbor? Who is a Muslim? It is stronger. Today people fence their family, hey, don't come to my house, hey, don't do this, hey, hey. The mother gets over and put her in old people's home. Don't disturb me. Mama will be shitting everywhere. Our house is rug and balat. Balat, what is it called? Balat, rug and tiles. Balat is not tiles. Marbles. Our house is rug and marble. Mama will be shitting. You forget that you are shitting like that all around the house. So when it's your time now to take care of her, go and put her in old people's home. You'll be visiting her every Sunday, visiting hours, 2 to 4, your mother. So, this is the kind of crisis. It's civilizational. And unfortunately, Muslims think that by this, we are, mashallah, we are civilizing. No. We are not civilizing. It's drawback. Because this kind of life has not brought happiness to those people who are living like that in Europe and America. It didn't bring them happiness. That's why they kill themselves by the day. Suicide rate is high. A man will just sit down and be thinking. As he's thinking, if he has a neighbor, he can talk to you. He'll be talking to the neighbor. He will reduce the stress. Does talking reduce hypertension and mental stress or not? It does. So for no neighbors to talk to, he himself fenced himself up. And he has 50 rooms in his house. Yallah, sisters. Since وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Anyone who believes in Allah and in the day of Qiyamah, he should also honor his ضيف, his guests. Someone is traveling, stops over in his house, please honor him. Honor him, take care of him, provide his food, provide his drink, provide his place of sleep, and make him feel comfortable as much as is possible. So doing so is from perfection of our iman, is from completing iman, from completing Islam, is that we do all of these three things. So when he speaks, he is only speaking what is good. When he is when he speaks, he say only that which is good. When he is with his neighbor, he deals with them rightly. And when he deals with his guests, he is nice with them. He does not say except that which is good. Look at the kind of character Islam is imbuing in us. So but today, all our, anything that is mosque, will be seen in the mosque. May Allah assist us and make us better Muslims and make all of these things easy for us to practice. You see, some problems with these kind of issues is, when we hear them, we don't practice them, they become a problem. They become a problem because we'll be asked about it. Even you hear it, they told you, but you did not take to it. And that itself is destructive. It will now become evidence again. When the people of hell go to hell, from what Allah will say to them, is that, Alam ahad ilaykum ya bani Adam, Allah ta'abud al-shaytan, innahu lakum aduun. Were you not told before? It's just the same thing. Were you not told before that you should not give servitude to Iblis? You should not serve any other except Allah. Were you not told? That's because they had heard, but they refused to implement. They heard it and it ended like that. So all of these things, the basic concern is that we implement them. If we implement them, we'll have the reward of having heard it. And we will have the reward of following, admonition. The same thing. If you say it, you must also implement it. So that you have the reward of saying what is good, you also have the reward of what? Implementing what you say. So that you do not become like the Jews. Regarding whom Allah say, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. That first Hamza itself is saying afala ta'qil, because that Hamza is Hamza to Istifhamiya. Ata'amuruna al-inkari. Ata'amuruna. Are you doing this kind of thing? Do you not think? At the end, he now hit it again. Afala ta'qil. So let's be nice to our neighbors. Let's be nice to our guests. And let's not say anything except that which is good. One day, Abu Shah, a man called Abu Shah, he came to Medina. So when Prophet made Hijrah, he went to them, alayhi salatu wasalam. So on the day of Fathu Makkah, when the Prophet made his final movement, Fathu Makkah to Makkah, he was there. So the Prophet was making admonitions. So he told the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Prophet, I want this statement you are making, I want it written. He says, Uktubu li Abi Shah. What I'm saying, write it for Abu Shah. In the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he said, Mushrikun are abusing me that everything you say, I'm writing it to. And you are a human being. Sometimes you are annoyed. Sometimes you are happy. Sometimes you are sad. Sometimes you are... So is it everything you say that I should say? He says, write it. He says, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. He says, write it. Because this is my mouth. Nothing comes out of it except the truth. When are we going to be like that? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that write anything that I say, write. Whether I'm annoyed, or write it. If I call somebody, wayhak, woe be to you, write it that I said to so and so, woe be to you. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. Nothing comes from it except the truth. And so those that he caused amongst the Muslims, Allah converted it for reward, to rewards for them. Everyone that the Prophet told that, wayhak, أَوْ سَكِلَتُكَ أُمُّكَ يَا فُلَمْ. May your mother be bereaved for you. My mother, she die. Reward for you. The Prophet said that to his reward. لا يخرج منه إلا الحق. Nothing came out of the mouth of the Prophet Muhammad. This case, I used to think that it is da'if. But I've seen that it is Hassan. That one day, the son of Abu Lahab was abusing the Prophet. And the Prophet said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma sallit alayhi kalban min kiladik. O Allah, arrest him with one of your dogs. So one day he was in a trip with his father Abu Lahab, and they made a stopover somewhere. So the night they heard a lion roar, oh, oh, like that. So the boy said that, I am sure that this lion is coming to kill me. He said, why? He said, oh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah should arrest me with one of his dogs. I'm sure this lion is for me. The lion went and killed him. Meanwhile, his father still did not accept. He was saying that anyway, that's the point of reference, that because he knew that the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say anything except that it is true. One day a companion was coming, the Prophet was asking, Azakarun our unsa, man or woman, he held his private organ. He said, why do you say, I fear that Allah make me become a woman, because he say woman, I can just change and become a woman. Because they knew that la yakhruju min fayhi illa al-haq. Nothing comes out of the mouth of the Prophet Muhammad except the truth. Isn't it time for us, each of us, or any of us, who stand one day and say, look, Allah, I beg you by the fact that nothing came out of my mouth except the truth. Accept this dua, is tawassul, Allah will accept it. When I were younger than this, it's difficult now. Difficult. SubhanAllah. When I were younger than this, a man and a woman quarreled. So the woman was so pressed, she wanted the case resolved. So she said, I was there, that Allah, I beg you by the fact that no man saw my private organs except this my husband. Accept this one. And it was accepted. So things like this, so you can say that with speech too. Allah, I beg you by the fact that I never said anything except the truth. It means one will keep quiet more. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man Sumata Najah. This hadith, Ibn Hajar mentioned it in Fath and he kept silent. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Man Sumata Najah. The one who keeps silent succeeds. Yes. He becomes saved. He gets salvation. How? Because nobody will say that Naim talk. Naim talk this. He keep quiet. Man Sumata Najah. But this song is commanded at the time that there is no khair to talk. When there is khair to talk, then the fadl is for talking. May Allah make us from those who will only make truthful and beneficial statements. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Yeah. You want to ask me questions now. I'm warning you before you ask me. Anyone, when we regularly remember this thing, to really, really be censoring. So many things people say they should not say. Imam Shafi, alayhi rahmatullah, he said, how many people are afraid of the graves? And nothing took them to the graves except their tongue. A man is afraid, does not want to die, he's afraid. But the day he will die, the tongue will kill him. His tongue killed him. He said something when they cut off his head. He said something when they shoot him. He said something when they say, oh, you, we are coming to meet you in your house. They go and kill him, waste his life because of his mouth. These people say they are the president of a country when they are not the president, and that led to their death. Do you understand what I'm saying? This tongue. And there is nothing that easily takes somebody to the fire like the tongue too. This tongue. Despite the favors Allah has placed upon it. Wallahi, the tongue is a blessed part of the body. If somebody speaks 40 languages, you'll be speaking all the 40 on the same tongue. The same tongue. Languages. One of the scholars, Sheikh Abu Ishaq Al-Huwaini, Hafizahullah, he speaks a lot of languages, about 6 or 7 foreign languages. He speaks Arabic well. He speaks French well. He speaks English well. He said there is no language that he speaks except he knows it well. All from one tongue. His tongue. And that's why also from what by which Allah will punish the people of the tongue is the people of the fire is with their tongues. Some of them will be tied with their tongues in the hell. May Allah save us from this evil. So this tongue, let us watch it. It makes and kills. Despite his great favors. One tongue like this can cause commotion in all of this place. Let's be careful about what we say. Very important. May Allah make us better Muslims. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. Falyakul khayran aw liyasmut. You are sure that it is khair. You must be afraid. This is how a mu'min, a Muslim behaves. He's afraid. He wants to do something that's right. He's afraid. I don't want to fall into error. I want it to be for Allah alone and the way Allah wants it. You must be afraid. It's from the signs of Iman. Barakallahu fikum. Now, the two can be the case. The two can be the case. If you are living the yard system, all of them, they are different households. Because it said in another hadith in Bukhari that they asked Aisha or the Prophet, I can't remember vividly. How is the neighbor? He said, the one with the closest door to you. He said, which of my neighbors is closest to me? He said, the one with the closest door to you. So as you can see, the use of that word door could mean the yard system, because that's one door, each of them is one door. So the one with the closest door to you is your closest neighbor. So it means all of them there, because you have different doors, they are your neighbors. Even if it has to do with compound, that compound, if it's one door that leads to it, and that's one door too. So it can take the two meanings together. So if you have 30 people living in your yard, that is 30 for you. That is even 30 in the center. Don't forget, you have another 39 in front of you, 39 behind, 39 to the right, 39 to the left. From that, and 40 to the left, from that asar of Hassan al-Basri, alayhi rahmatullah, Imam.
If you are to share, let's take the aspect of food as an example. And to share the food, maybe you are supposed to eat your dinner and not take the food. And how do you share the food you are supposed to cook within this 40? Let's just take one aspect of 40. How do you do justice to it?
You give to the closest first. The closest first. The closest first. You want to give something to your neighbors. The one with the nearest door to you first, then the rest. You see, a good problem is even that the neighbors don't even know themselves. Know him like this. Talk less of sharing food. Which food? You share a food with the man we don't know. So how have we been dealing? How has it been? So the connection is getting reduced and weak amongst them. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكن خيرا أو ليصمت.
Now, in the situation where we have a neighbor that said that I don't want to have anything to do with the good people. Now, as maybe you see that we passed to this area and we started as very clear to the directing friend that I don't want to have anything to do with it. So how can one relate with the kind of neighbor like that? That is one. The second one,
Tabliq, who is the real Tabliq, or he only considers you as Tabliq?
He only considers anybody that is
Sunnah. Okay.
So, and the second one, in some areas, if you slaughter a ram and you say that take this to Mama Joket, so we will just say,
what does that mean? It's from idol worship.
Yes, for sacrifice.
You see, this is the reason why we must not keep quiet about all these matters. It is true that many Malam, quote unquote, if they slaughter ram like this, it is trouble ram they slaughter. It's ram they slaughter for another thing. When you see all this Malam, they are making hisadi, they are making jalabi, you know what I'm saying. They are the one making kayangida and all these things for women. You know those people. Some of them, you think that they are good people, but they are shayateen in the clothes of ink. So in that case, you must be known by your neighbor who you are. These are things you don't do again now. The neighbor must know who that person is. Who is he? What is his akida? How does he behave? The man has put friends already, so how will he know? So it's a problem area. No, let your neighbors know who you are. Don't let anybody mistake you for a person in Jamaat al-Tabligh. It's like somebody think that you're a Christian. Will you sleep in your house that day before you go and stand up and say, look, I'm not a Christian. I'm Muslim, Ahlul Sunnah, Kaf. So somebody think that you are Shia. You sleep in your house before you go and declare to them, come. You see those people, they are my enemies. They are the most hated people to me on earth. Will you sleep in your house before you do that? That is the reason why you must not allow your neighbor to sleep thinking that you are Tabligh. The Jama'at Tabligh group of people are the Jama'at that
people have most unfortunately had a lot of misconception about thinking a lot of khayr with the jama'ah. Wala khayra fihi. People used to say, and I've said it once, people used to say that they used to make sinful Muslims to become pious. They used to sometimes convert some people from another religion to Islam. I say this, these two things are rubbish. Can another? Al-Imam ibn Kathir, alayhi rahmatullah, in his book Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, he mentioned a man called Al-Mihyar al-Daylan. He has Saljuma in Sayyar al Nubala. Al-Mihyar al-Daylan. This Mihyar al-Daylan was a Majusi fire worshipper. They was very good at the speech and writing. So he used to write poems abusing the prophets of the companions of the prophet. Mm-hmm. This Al-Mihyar al-Daylami was a Majusi fire worshipper. He accepted Islam from the hands of the Rawatib, the Shia. So he started to write poems, classics, against the companions. And one of the scholars, Muhammad al-Qasim, said to him, he said, Ya Mihyar, خرجت من مركز من النار إلى مركز آخر في النار. Oh Mihyar, you came from زاوية من النار, from a corner inside fire, إلى زاوية أخرى, to another corner inside fire. كنت مجوسيا, you were a fire worshipper, for أسلمتَ, you became a Muslim and started to abuse the companions. So when he was a Majusi, he was in one part of fire. When he thought that he had accepted Islam and started abusing the companions of the Prophet, where did he move to? From one corner to another corner inside fire. So if someone becomes a Muslim, how? What kind of Islam? What? And that's why when we are saying Iman Billah, we are saying those things that if the Iman is not like this, Ba Iman Iba. Ba Iman Iba. Iman Billah, someone is worshipping grace, where is the Iman? Yes, where is the Iman? Where is the Iman with all the beard? Is it beard they used to know Iman? People like Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, their beards are longer. You've not heard about them. They used to have beards. Mushrikun had beards at the time of Jahiliyyah before the Prophet came. Mm-hmm. Alayhi salatu wa salam. So if not beard, it does not mean that it's Iman. What about this man we have in Nigeria? Wale Seinka? He does not believe that it's Allah. I hope that he repents before he dies. وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرِ. It's from those people who nothing will finish up except time. They are just waiting for time. If he dies like this, he will regret. Like his forefathers, Awo and Bola Ige, they are regretting in fire now. Those two people, they are from the greatest enemies of Islam in this country. Awo Lawo and Bola Ige. They hate Islam, they don't hide it. May Allah met what he did to them now. So now they will be knowing who Allah is. Yes, they will be knowing reality now. Because they will be severely punished in their graves. So the deity does not matter. Where Awo was living, those useless people following him, they say, Awo was a pious man. He was a pious man. He was only wearing one shoe, one cloth. When he died, he found 356 shoes in his house. So he was deceiving the people. Where is the piety without Iman? Allah will not put it. That's why some scholars say on the day of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. It's not the day of Qiyamah. There is no wazim for kufar. It's straight to Jahannam. Because there is no good for them. Allah has said, La nukimu lahum yawm al-qiyamati wazna. So if they say it's fire, it's utakawai. So if you want to accept Islam, accept Islam rightly. That's why it says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, aminu. He says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi. As the right way you should fear Allah. That's why you should fear Allah. Son is fearing Allah and I tell the son start the thing. Is he fearing Allah? Yes, he intends to fear Allah, but he has not feared Allah. So how many people intend to become Muslims and they have not actually become Muslims? They say they make people who are sinful to stop sinning. Kind of mother, sinning to what? To innovation. During the time of Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah, He was having a munakasha with some people called Al-Rufa'iyya. So they said, oh, don't abuse us, oh, Ibn Taymiyyah. He said, I will abuse you, and you are saying what is wrong. And they started to. He said, why should I not abuse you? He said, لِأَنَّنَا نَسْتَوِيبُ النَّاسِ. Because we make people repent. Ibn Taymiyyah said, alayhi rahmatullah, تُتَوِيبُونَهُمْ مِنْ مَذَا. You make them repent from what? He said, from قطع الطريق والسرقة, and from armed robbery and theft and all this. He said, look, their hal, their condition before you ask them to repent is better than their condition after you told them to repent. Because when you told them to repent, they come into your sect, Rufa'iyya. They begin to do what Allah hates, like what Allah hates, and dislike what Allah loves. So their condition before you told them to repent is better than their condition after in your thinking you made them to repent. So the end does not justify the means in our Islam. Please make people know who you are. You are not tabligh. Someone calls you tabligh, don't answer him. He tell you, look, I'm not tabligh. It's very important. If you die too, you say one tabligh man die in my house. Please, let's be saying that. Declare yourself. Make it known who you are. I'm Muslim, Ahlu Sunnah al-Jama'ah. If you want to add salt to it, please say you are Salaf. If the person will understand what that is. And make them know, look, me, I'm not Malam, Kayagida, what? I'm Ahlu Sunnah. If I slaughter Ram, I slaughter Ram because I want to eat it. So, Bismillah, take it, it's halal. So, if the person is sincere to you, by that time you should have known that Bawasava. So let's make ourselves known wherever we are. We'll stop here, inshallah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.